I just want to share a few thoughts with you. And the sort of springboard or catalyst for these thoughts came last Sunday. It was Mark who was praying. We'd sung, "When I stand in glory, I shall see his face. And there I'll serve my Lord and Master in that holy place." And if I remember rightly, Mark, his prayer response, there's a wonderful then, but there's a wonderful now. Do you remember that we can serve him now in that holy place? Spiritually, we can behold him face to face, according to 2 Corinthians at the end of chapter 3. And as he prayed, a number of thoughts and verses came to me, which I'd like to share this morning. So in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And the question that came to me was, who is your saviour from sin? Who saves you from sin? And it's a serious question. Is Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, your present saviour from sin? Or do you count death to be your saviour from sin? We have to face this, if you understand the distinction I'm making. Who is going to save you and me from sin? Is it in this life, is it Jesus, or do you reckon that you await death to save you fully from sin? You expect death to save you from particular sins? Or is Jesus my Saviour? Is Jesus your Saviour, present Saviour from sin? Can death sanctify you? Don't want you to theologically speculate about that. I just want to underline what I'm trying to convey. Will death be my sanctification any more than the blood of Jesus Christ is now? Will the death of this body and it being transformed into a glorious body? We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that this corruption of this body will put on incorruption. The mortality of this body, which is a particular vehicle through which we are tempted by sin. So that vehicle through which we are tempted will be done away with. And we will have a new body, a glorious body, a spiritual body. But will death sanctify me any more deeply than Christ can do so now? Will death free me from sin any more than Jesus Christ can do in this present life? Are there giants in the land that I have really parked to be delivered from when I die? They came into the promised land. God says, everywhere you put your foot. Now, you've got to put your foot there. You've got to put your foot down on it. Everywhere you put your foot, it's yours. I have already, in my eternal purposes, given you all of this land. Some compromise. Some came to Joshua and says, we can't, we can't, we can't. The people of the plains, they've got chariots of irons, don't you know? Some have got cities where the walls reach up to the sky. And there are giants, we can't. Let's create a theology that keeps us wandering in the wilderness all our lives. Joshua replied and says, you can. By God's grace, by God's word, you can. It's a challenge. When we feel overwhelmed or overcome by temptations, you can. There is a way for man to rise. There is a way. Now, all this came to me while Mark was praying last week. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I think it's verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, Paul is saying, if the Spirit of God, who by His almighty power raised up Jesus from the dead, from among the dead, triumphant over death, triumphant over sin, He judged sin in His flesh, triumphant over the powers of darkness and of Satan, as Hebrews 2:14 tells us. He destroyed him that had the power to separate you from me, from God, that is death. He destroyed him who had the power of death, namely the devil. Now, if the Spirit of Him that did all this in and through Christ to raise Him from the dead, let me read it. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does that Spirit dwell in you? In me, what a wonder to have God's Spirit, resurrection, Spirit, life, living in you, in me. You see, I was thinking this week, even this morning, these truths don't grow old. They become more wonderful, more real. You know why? Because we face temptations. Sometimes we face really strong temptations. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we don't feel spiritual at all. Sometimes God can seem far away to our feelings. Sometimes it can be all like this. Sometimes our feelings don't help us one bit. Lay hold. We are not to park scriptures that we are familiar with to one side because, well, can't really be realized in this life. We wait for death for their fulfillment. It's wonderful. Reverses are wonderful. Because they are our salvation now, presently, and become more so. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, in the AV, make alive your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. If God's Spirit dwells in you. It's the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, his body from the dead. If that dwells in you, he will raise up your body on that day by the power of the Spirit. Now, if we go to Ephesians, chapter 1. And never let any scripture, never get used to any scripture. Never get used to being a Christian at all. Don't let anything become routine. Just got to read my scriptures, got to do my praying, meet together. Don't let anything become routine. We have to keep our relationship with him fresh. Scriptures, no scripture is meant to be gathered dust on a doctrinal shelf in my head. It's meant to be Spirit of life to help me in real situations. Paul here prays in chapter 1 of Ephesians. And he'd been at Ephesus, hadn't he, for over 2 years, I believe. But he prays for them. He says, he prays that God would open the eyes of their understanding and give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Christians, as he says in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit after they heard the word of God. They received the seal of the Spirit. So they're baptized in the Spirit, yet he is praying because he knows the necessity of it, that their eyes continue to be open to the wonderful truths of the gospel and the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Lest they become letters on a page, doctrines in our intellectual minds. So he prays. I want to break into it. He prays that we might see, might understand, and what is the exceeding greatness of God's power towards us who believe. He's talking about God's exceeding great power towards you and me if we believe, if we lay hold of Christ and don't believe other things, or our knees buckle and our hands hang down and we ascribe greatness to the giants in the land. Says that you might know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Which power? According to the working of his mighty power. So Paul is laying it on very heavily, isn't he? He can't express the greatness of this power large enough. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So Paul is not talking about, as far as we're concerned, about then. He's talking about now. I want you, I'm praying to the Father that you will know the exceeding greatness of a power that rises out of death. Now, out of spiritual death. Can we say that? Yes, we can, because of chapter 2. or beginning at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. He's talking about spiritual death, not about our physical bodies. Has made alive, the same word in Greek, in English, quickened here in the AV, as we read in Romans 8:11. Even when we were dead in sin, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved, and hath raised us up already together, and made us already sit together in heavenly places. Resurrection, life. I am the resurrection and the life. Now. There's a preacher in America. I don't agree with him on some things, but I was glad when he said this. He said something like this. You can't compare the regeneration that we have experienced as God's people with the resurrection of the body. The resurrection of our spirit out of death, power of darkness, power of Satan, power of sin, is far greater, far more wonderful, required a far greater power and work, a deeper work, than to transform these bodies on that day. The greatest miracle ever is not so much the resurrection of our bodies, but the resurrection of the inside. I was going to say, Buona Sifiwe, praise the Lord. We are on a journey. For me, it's not thinking of some end state. You know, people so quickly to justify other things want to say sinless perfection. It's not on my mind. The thing is, you and me, we are real people in a real world, in real lives, and we face temptations. How do you overcome temptations? That's my point. That's what's on my heart. What aids us in overcoming? And it's faith in the Word of God, faith in what He's done. Not faith about what state I've reached. He's able to save to the uttermost, those that come to him by Christ. Hebrews 7:24. Right. It's just as well I didn't prepare this. The time's almost gone. This is just the thoughts that came to me last Sunday morning. Raised with Christ, made alive with Christ, raised with Christ, seated with Christ. This is not just positionally true. That is a deception. There's a whole bulwark of theology that says this is positionally true. It's sort of theoretically true. Paul prays that we should know this power of God now that raised Jesus from the dead, set him at his right hand. As it says in Colossians 3, we die and our lives are hid spiritually with Christ in God. I come back to these scriptures and continue to meditate on them, lest they grow a little bit stale, a little bit dull, gather dust. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Maybe you think I'm still an infant. I go back to these scriptures and meditate on them, but I will be an infant all my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will finish just. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Know you, Romans 6:3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so now we also should walk in newness of life according to this resurrection life of him who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Two more verses to end with. Now or future? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely, now. Complete sanctification now. Don't have an image of you, yourself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Believe him today for the things you face today. It is enough. It is enough. Don't have to think of perfection. It is enough. Find him to be Savior today. Find him to be redeemer of sin today, and you will have whereof to praise him at the end of the day. That's all. That's what it's about. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly through the offering of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his blood today. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved from now, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior from sin, who is our sanctifier, death or Christ. And finally, Jude. We could always sing it. Now unto him who is able to keep. Able to keep you from falling. Yes, he is. And present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, you can sing, our Savior, be glory and majesty, both now and forever. Well, yeah, I got lost in the end. I'll read it. Read it, lest someone thinks I'm leading them astray. Praise God. Jesus is wonderful. This is why I thought the worship was wonderful. He's wonderful. I love David, when he said to his wife, who despised him for dancing virtually naked, he said, I'll be even more vile. I don't care what people think. I don't care what you think. I'll be more vile. Even if sometimes you just want to pray, and you've only maybe got one phrase, but I want to pray, I haven't got it all. It doesn't matter. I'll be vile. I'll stumble over my words. It doesn't matter. I want to love him. I've got to love him. The stones will cry out if that which is put within doesn't have expression. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.